at the beginning of the Seder Kedoshim, we have one of the places in the Torah where we find obligation of the children to parents. It says, Ish imov of tiro. Right, you have to have mori, you have to have fear or awe or reverence for your parents, in addition to the mitzvah that says the dibros of kibud av v'aim, as most people know. Here it says, Ish imov aviv tiro, the mother is mentioned first, whereas in the aseres hadibros, it's the father that's mentioned first, as I'll explain, because a child has more of a tendency to have a certain honor and a certain love for the mother before the father. So it says, Kabir es avicha v'semecha. And here when it comes to fear, you know, the old line is the mother says, just wait till your father gets home, right? And they get in real trouble. So a child has more fear for the father. So it says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro. Then it says, Shabsosa tishmoru. So we know that the halacha is that even for the sake of honoring your parents, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos or any other mitzvah in the Torah. That's a whole discussion. How far does that go? It's in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't have notes in front of me, but how far does that go? It applies to Dinim Doraisa. It applies to Dinim Darabonin. Could it be applies to Minhagim? Even according to Minhagim, you don't want to maintain Minhagim. The question, what about Amidas Hasidus? Amidas Hasidus, maybe then you'd have to forego for the sake of parents. But anyway, that's some discussion on that basis. The Gemara in Kedushin, the Flamed Aleph, so gives certain precise definitions of what's meant by Kibud Av V'Aim, what's meant by Mora Av V'Aim. Usually, in colloquial speak, it means honoring your parents. What does that mean? A big discussion whether obedience falls in, you have to obey your parents, right? Sometimes your parents want a child to listen, I told you to do this, I have to honor you. Is that really what Kabed Savicha V'Simecha means? The Gemara has specific examples of Kabed Ezo Kibud. The Gemara asks, what exactly is meant by Kibud Av V'Aim? The Gemara gives specific cases, instructions, which I would summarize as meaning providing service. Providing service for the parents, right? They're bringing food, bringing drink, bringing clothing, these kinds of things. Providing service, I think, is a good summary of all those things. That's kibud av v'aim. Mora av v'aim is things you refrain from doing. So you don't sit in many homes. The father, the mother have a particular seat, particular chair. You don't sit in the chair. You don't disagree with them in a disrespectful way, and so on. So there are specific examples. It's an interesting question. Does obedience really fit in? Let's say a parent tells a child to do something, it's not to provide him service. Rishonim talk about there, and in the beginning of Yom HaSandavav, the Gemara had the Rishonim discuss, what if my father tells me to go, he wants me to vote for this and this candidate? Am I mechuyav to listen to my father? It's not if he tells me to go ahead and provide him with service, tells him I have to go pick up his suit from the cleaners or whatever, that's service, that you have to do. But just stam obedience, it looks like you don't have to do that, right? Only to do that which is in the realm of service. And for example, the father says the closest there in Kiddushin and Yavamas, it's a Rishonim, another Rishonim discuss, what if the father tells the child, the child's a Kohen, go become Tomei for this and this, go become Tomei. So the child doesn't have to listen. What do you mean? Of course he doesn't have to listen. That's what he said before. It says, Ishim over to rest Shabbos, I don't have to violate a different Torah to listen to the parents. What's even the Havamina? Or what's the Havamina? You can violate a law from the Torah? Of course you can't. If a coin can't become Tomei. Or don't return this Aveda. Don't return this Los Aveda. It's a Sugin Bab Mitzi also. Don't return this Aveda. Of course he doesn't have to listen. You have to do the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs come first. Because the Gemara says, at the end of that Pasuk, Ishim over to rest Shabbos, I'm the Hashem. I'm a higher authority, right? Both the Kulchem Chav Mechvodi. Both the parents have to listen to me also. So it's like you have an order that comes in the army. Someone says it's not exactly true, but the example I always heard was you have a directive from the sergeant, then the general gives a different directive. You have to listen to the general because the sergeant has to listen to the general also. I question what the private has to do. Someone told me it's not so clear in the military, but I'll be pashtus, right? If the general issues an order and he's higher than the sergeant, has a higher rank, he pulls rank. So that's the same thing here. So what's the habit? So again, the Rishonim say, no, the father is telling the child, there's a coin, go get me some fruit from that tree. It's right by the Beis HaKvaros. Oh, that's already a different story because there he's asking for service. That's not Stam telling him to become Tommy. You also have to listen to become Tommy. Or his father says, don't return this. Aveda, now I need you to get this for me. That's a very different story. So there we have to have a discussion, you know, what better it is to have a minute. Okay. Anyway, that's the din. Now, in terms of obedience, it's interesting because there are some achronim, but I don't know if it's in the Shonim exactly, but the achronim makneh, the Sefer HaMakneh, that's by the Pinchas Halevi Horowitz on Kiddushim, Naflah. Naflah is on Ksubis, and the makneh, which is the wrong name, it's really a posuk in Tanakh, the Sefer HaMiknah. We'll read it a couple weeks after Torah Parsha Bahar. It says Sefer HaMiknah, but in yeshivas they call it the Makneh. Okay, so the Makneh Kiddushin says, one second, interesting thing. It says, Ish imo vaviv tiro. So Chazal say Rashi quotes here in Kiddushin, Ish imo vaviv tiro. why Ish, you know, only Ish and not Isha, a woman doesn't have to, a woman also has to, right? That's why it says Tira'u in the plural. Ish, Ima, Tira'u in the plural, even women. So why does it say Ish? Because there are some times where the woman can't do it. Because Yesh, she has to serve her husband. And that takes precedence. So the Machna says, wait a second. It says, Ish of Tira'u. What is Tira'u again? Tira'u are things refraining. Don't sit in their father and mother's seat. Don't argue with them and so on. So well, how is that a steer to the husband? And so she can not sit in the father's seat at the same time she doesn't sit in the mother's seat, in her husband's seat. Why is that a steer? You know, if it's under Mira, right? So Elamai, Machna says, no, you see that under Mora, Avaim is also listening to what they said. Right, then you can talk of a steer. The husband says one thing, the father says the mother says a different thing. Then you can have a steer. Now, Chorim talk about it. Machna makes this point based on this Drosha's Chazal that Rashi quotes in the Chumash. But Lamaisa, that's an interesting why. Others disagree. Others disagree that obedience is never considered part of it. In terms of providing service, so the Gemara has in Kiddushin that, okay, I have to provide the service, but who has to pay for it? Who's required to pay for it? Let's say my father tells me, go to the store to get... calls me up and tells me to go to the store and get, gives me a shopping list. Okay, do I have to pay for it also? I have to do the service. That's what I have to do it. I have to provide the service. Tells me to get, like I said before, to get a suit back from the cleaners. Okay, but who has to pay for it? So the Gemara has a discussion, and the consensus of the Gemara is, it concludes the Mishal of. The father is the one, the father and the mother, I'm equating. And they have to pay for it. I have to provide the service, but I don't have to pay for it. So, an interesting story that Rav Zevin brings in the Sefer Ishim Vashitos. Rav Shlomo Zevin was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael, originally from Russia, in the early 1900s, and lived into, happened to have been Eretz Yisrael in the late 1970s, I think, his Nifta happened to be at his Levaya. Just happened to be in, I think, maybe the early 80s, I forgot what it was. I just remember that they took his Aron, Eretz Yisrael, there's no Aron, you know, they wrap you up, basically, and it's like a hammock, you know. And then they walked from, I think, from Gula or Meir Sharm to Har Menuchos. They walked through the streets of Yerushalayim. You've seen pictures of mass Levayas. So I happened to be there, and you can kind of like sort of work your way towards the front, and you can hold on to one of the ropes that's for a few minutes. The mitzvah of SMAs, you know. So I somehow got near the front, and for a few minutes I held the thing. Then I was kind of jostled out of the way by the next person. I turned around, it was a person wearing a hat, he had thick glasses, and I did, like, I did a double take for a second until I realized who he was. By the time I realized who he was, I was pushed out of the way. It was Menachem Begin. Was a Rosh Hashanah, you know. Then the security people, you know, moved me away. He came to Rav Zevin Delay. Anyway, so Rav Zevin was a fascinating person. He was the founder of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, you know, the yellow encyclopedia. He was the one who conceived. Here it is. Okay, so he looked there. Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin was the founder. So he has a lot of interesting svarim, aside the Encyclopedia Talmudis. He has interesting svarim. He has a sefer called Hamodim Halacha. If you're not familiar with it, doesn't need my haskama for sure, but I recommend it. And Article 20 in English called The Festivals in Halacha. And it's really, my opinion, it's a type of sefer that can be read by a beginner and it can be read by somebody who's involved in learning. It's just that he has the chakiris, he has marmakas. It's really a very, very beautiful sefer. Then he also had a sefer called called L'Or HaHalacha, where he has discussions in Halacha of off-the-beaten-path subjects. You know, some of that whole essay, actually a very long essay on Shemitah, 100 pages, the first 100 pages, so it was on Shemitah. He has other things, at the end, he analyzes the Shakespearean play Merchant of Venice. I remember from high school, Merchant of Venice, so he analyzes that's a case where a Jewish moneylender, Shakespeare has a whole trial story, but a Jewish moneylender who had, wanted to collect from a non-Jew to lend money, and the whole court case, and see, he discusses what would happen if such a case came before Beis Din. Very lumbish in a type of article. Anyway, but he also has a sefer called Ishim Shitos, who has biographies of maybe seven or eight Gedolei Torah of the late 1800s, early 1900s, including Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So there he has a story that there was a bachur in yeshiva, I guess in Balozhin, whose father sent him a message, he wants him to come home. The father sent a message, he wants his son to come home. He's not feeling well, he wants his son to be at home. So the son responded, okay, but send me a train ticket. You know, I mean, send me a train ticket, I'll go home. And the father said, no, I'm just telling you to come home. So, again, presumably it was to provide some sort of service. Again, it can go back to that question of obedience. Anyway, the son didn't want to go because he went to Reb Chaim. He said, look, the Gemara says, Mishal Ov. Right? But my father has to pay for it. So he asked Reb Chaim, am I right? So Reb Chaim says, you're right, it is Mishal Ov. Okay? You don't have to pay for a train ticket. You can walk back. Oh, wait a minute. It's more convenient for you to take the train? That's your business. Right? So that's it. Now, there's two versions of what Ruchaim meant by that. Was he just giving the boy a musar? He said, your father wants you to come back, don't hunt now about the train tickets. Because your father wants you to come back, don't. Or did he mean it al pi halacha? That when you're doing something for yourself, so then that doesn't count. That's not Mishal'ov. That was for your own convenience. It wasn't for serving the father. So if Tzvi Feser Frank finishes as a tshuva about a son who was, I think, a dentist. I think the dentist or doctor. Again, I didn't write that on my own, so I forgot to bring. But forgot to write it down. But Tzvi Feser Frank, it was a Rav Mishal'ov, and has a tshuva called Tshuva's Har Tzvi. So in his tshuvas, he had a son who was a dentist. So halacha is that a child, any age, is not supposed to treat the parent, because you're not allowed to draw blood. That's one of the dinim, different din, not allowed to draw blood from the parent. Okay, that's makia over vimo. Makia means not only it, not the hip, it has to be to cause blood to come out, or at least even to cause a black and blue mark, which means blood rose to the surface, didn't come out, but black and blue mark is when there's blood right at the top of the skin. Anyway, so the halacha is brought in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to treat your parent, you may end up drawing more blood than necessary, and so on and so forth. So this some man needed some kind of a dental work, and if ever's been to a dentist, it's usually blood, you know, when you're working with a dentist. So the son didn't want to treat the father. There was another dentist in the practice who would be able to treat him, but the father would have to pay for the other dentist. The other dentist in the practice not going to do it for free. So now the question was, who has to pay? Right? Does the son have to pay? Because really, you know, he would do it for free. He's obligated to treat his father. He just can't treat his father because the din is going to draw too much blood. The other dentist, not Mechuyev, not Fedek, is going to do it for free. So the question was to pay. So according to this, I don't think Tzvi Feser Frank brings this story, but it's the same Chakira. He says the son really should have to pay. It's not Mishal of why, because the only reason the son doesn't want to do it is he wants to protect himself from that issue. That's his business. Now he should really treat the father. Now he's not able to treat the father because he doesn't want to draw in blood. He wants the father then, okay. But that's his business, not the father's business. I think that's how he came out of Alach Lamad. It's a very fascinating tshuva. It may relate to that Chakira. Okay, have a good day.
Whatever he wants. Okay. Cool.